up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.15, 200 Reasons and Then Some, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
158 days. Guys, we are so happy and excited and grateful to announce that this is our 200th episode!
What? Surprise!
That's crazy.
Oh my God, I can't believe people have listened to us this long. Thank you, guys!
200 weeks of annoying everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Chapter 22. Harry starts to set up a spell, but is called to rescue Molly from a less-than-above-board police interrogation. Afterwards, Harry and Murphy talk more about the possibility of having a relationship.
After their creepy meeting with Darby Crane, they start walking around and sticking Play-Doh everywhere in this hotel.
Totally normal.
I like that you're optimistic. The last time you tried to do this, it got instantly ruined.
That was chalk on a wall. This is Play-Doh in a plant.
Yeah, this was chalk lines on everything. It was walls and doors and the one with Guffy. So I like this. He's just got little bits everywhere. So different method this time. And I don't know if it's specific to the spell or just because he's like, chalk lines would be like really obvious and not easily done and easily scuffed.
The hotel staff would be wiping down the walls.
Yeah, people be. So I don't know if it's because it is a different spell kind of from one. Although that one was kind of the same because he was setting up with the mirrors to kind of bounce back as well. But anyways, yeah, this time he opts for something different. So again, one of the advantages to being super tall, I am probably not leaving bits of Play-Doh on top of hotel doorways and stuff like that. Not easily. The potted plants I could handle. But yeah, everywhere inconspicuous, and everywhere there's the main traffic, especially like where the movies are going to start soon and all this kind of stuff. And Murphy's like, what the fuck are we doing? It's like, we're doing a spell with Play-Doh. Yeah.
And it's blue Play-Doh.
Does that matter? Yes. Well, no. But for me, yes.
We've gotten into this thing about intentions and spells before, and yeah, it's a nice little rundown about, if you think it matters, it matters. If you don't think it matters, then it doesn't matter. So because I think it matters, it does matter.
Right.
I like it. It's good.
It is. It's kind of cute. It's kind of neat. And it is a fun little piece of, yeah, because she's like, what the? What?
And it doesn't have to, because he said that, it doesn't have to fit into any existing color theory. Because at first I was like, well, some of what he says sounds like kind of feng shui. And then other parts actually sound more like Wiccan stuff, but... like, the color black being vindictiveness is not a thing in pretty much anything. Like, that's his own thing.
Well, yeah.
But he can get away with it because he says,
black
because
magic.
That's what it means to me.
Yeah,
well, black magic. We spoke magic about this, how yeah. It almost seems like when Ebenezer took over Harry's training, that he almost tried to put these safeguards in Harry and be like, okay, magic is about creation and colors mean this. And, like, it was almost a sort of reverse sleeper cell sort of thing in Harry where it's like, let's just real quick
tone down some of these and, well, like you say, build in some safeguards to some of these things where exactly because intention and if you believe this is a thing, you're not as likely to accidentally.
It's almost like putting up baby gates in his mind, you know?
Yeah.
You really want it, Harry.
Yeah, because like Harry says, he's like, to me, I can just automatically connect it to that. I don't have to do as much work. I'm not holding as much raw.
Well, the same thing he went through with his whole like ritual that. Training at the beginning of the book.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, right? So it just, yeah, makes it easier that, oh, blue is just defensive and it means this and, yeah.
Mind over less, matter. I don't have to think about it. It's
less,
just happening.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Less likely to just boom everything. And then, again, the last bit, too. And it's the cheapest at Walmart. Which is like Walmart. You'd be surprised, haven't you? Which, again, given the rundown we've got occasionally of his basement supplies.
We already know.
I know. It's just, like, again, right? Ultimately, it's the intention. So it's like, oh, you could use champagne or you could use tequila for a love spell. What's the difference? I'm thinking I'm going to get sleazier results with it. You're right. But it's like, you can't, you know? As long as I think it's going to work for this purpose, yeah.
Yeah. Good to go.
Good to go. Not so much with tiger cages. Because it didn't work out for Kim Delaney. Sometimes you can't replace chalk and sticks with gold and silver. You can't replace gold and silver with chalk and sticks. But anyways, so he wants a place with a little bit of room and a little bit of quiet.
I do also, like, I'm going to have to assume the bad guy knows I'm here. You've introduced yourself
to everybody. Yeah. Exactly. I'm Harry Dresden. I'm a wizard. Murph, do you think they're on to us?
My talents, this can't be happening.
Right? Like, again, I get, on the whole, him, like I say, being out and proud as a wizard and doing, but every once in a while, where it's like, but don't you think, Harry? Like, I know you haven't really been reliably able to watch TV in 20 years, but you did watch a lot before then. You go to the movies. Do you not see where, you know, sometimes the heroes, the law enforcement, those kind of, you know, they kind of go undercover and keep shit to themselves? Yeah. So, yes, they're just trying to figure out where he might find a spot of quiet. And by God, is that difficult to do at a convention.
Because who comes running up to them?
Sandra!
She's frazzled and looking for help for Molly, who is being heavily interrogated.
Yeah. What? Can they just do that? We're about to find out.
I do wonder why they were able to nail her down. It must be because she's the boyfriend of Nelson, who they think is still a suspect.
Maybe the girlfriend of Nelson?
Sorry, what did I say?
The boyfriend of Nelson.
Yeah, you know.
But yes.
I don't want to assume anyone's gender.
I'm pretty sure Malachi has identified herself as... But exactly.
Yeah, she's friends with one of the victims already.
Well, she's right up there with Rosie. Yeah. And right up there with Nelson, who was accused of the attack. And... Yeah,
I was just saying the same. Like, who's blabbing? But yeah, I guess going to the hospital with Rosie, maybe. I'm
yeah.
not sure that the cops, she would have been on any official, you know. Anyone can go sit in a cop shop and wait for their boyfriend to get bailed out. Didn't mean she had to announce her presence to anyone, but.
No, but I'm going to think just that, again, yeah, connected to these things, right? Again, if they ask around, right, because they would have been investigating Nelson, that they would have found out, yeah, regardless of whether she was at the station or not. But that's, you would hope in some decent police detecting that, yes, that would be basic information they would have found out.
Well, no, because I'm thinking who the fuck ratted Molly out.
Well, okay.
Who blabbed?
But yes, again, watching a lot of cop shows again, it's always, you know, the wife, the girlfriend, the husband first. You check those things out. So yeah. So I think it's just, again, her proximity, and she's working at the convention, right? She's part of the staff, and she's been staying on and off the hotel, and so, yeah, I think it's just...
Yes, point is, it seemed above board at first when they just wanted to talk to her, but now Sandra's concerned because it's been hours, apparently, yeah, like, whole time.
A couple hours, and she's disappeared, and...
Yeah. We don't exactly know when Molly got here, but the last time Harry saw her was at the hospital, and then, yeah, you know, Harry came directly here and has been running around doing whatever bullshit here for now, while he went home.
Well, yeah, that's Sandra's timeline, as she says she got back a couple of hours ago, and I haven't seen her since.
Yeah, but it almost seems like almost the entire time we've been with Harry since we left Molly, maybe, because all he did was go home and then he's been here at the convention. There hasn't been, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we don't know how long she stayed at the hospital or whatever, but...
But Harry does have a plan almost immediately. He's like, okay, here, call these two numbers, go, I'm gonna deal with this.
Yeah. Who's gonna be on that list?
Charity's obviously just, like, really clear, obvious one, but I always wondered, I was like... Like, knowing who shows up with Charity. I'm like, was that the other number, or did he just try and call Michael?
I'm assuming it would have been Michael, and Charity is what he put on there, because when the other person shows up, he's mildly surprised to see them.
Okay.
Well, good point. Right?
Yeah. So, no. So, I think, yeah, I'm going to assume that it's first and foremost Michael and Charity, or...
I guess, like, yeah, okay, inform the father what's happening, but really, like, do you actually expect him to show up?
Or somebody else, very, like, not necessarily he does, but again, right, some other... close family friend, or maybe the oldest son or something like that, you know.
The house number and the cell number.
or right, something like this. Because, yeah, I'm like, again, their neighbor or something, you know. Well, I guess that wouldn't really help in this situation. But, yeah, something like that. If not directly Michael, because he knows he's busy then. Although, again, right, it could be like, well, he might just show up if it's a thing. But, anyways.
Harry tromps off to the rescue, and on his way, he sees... Lydia Stern from the Midwestern Arcane. So Lydia is Susan's replacement and has already got the reputation of being investigative terror.
Yeah, a little bit of a bulldog here.
Whose description, once you get down to it, is completely...
She's so cute.
Yeah. Like,
She's little and plump and angel-faced and dichotomy. Yeah.
Now, I know Jim Butcher
likes...
Kind
of like Murphy. Murphy looks so sweet, but she will kick your ass. I still can't hear Lydia without going back to...
That's what I mean, though. We know Jim Butcher loves using the name Margaret, but now we've got two Lydias, too? Bro.
I mean, yes.
Everyone is a Mike or Michael. Everyone is a Margaret. But now Lydia and Lydia?
I was going to say, in the course of real life, obviously this kind of thing happens, you know, frequently and you have no control. But yes, it's always funnier when it pops up in books.
Yeah. He's probably got like some niece or something. He's like, that's it? That's all I get for my namesake? He's like,
One drugged out, like, psychopath. Miss Stern is very stern in her reporting, but just dimples in her cheeks.
Yeah, so Harry asks her to be his thug.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so when he does the whole introduction in his head to the audience sort of thing about who Lydia Stern is and the Midwestern whatever, this to me starts to be, well, you know, I kind of got my last girlfriend and the last reporter for the Arcane kind of fucked up and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. In which case you would think, yeah, his wording here is like, and every now and again they stumble on a real story or something, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
Lydia Stern has a real knack for it and blah, blah, blah. And I really like her, but I can't get caught up in reporters because I've ruined their lives before, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You think you'd be less inclined to be giving interviews and priority and contact to them considering what happened the last time you got a little more involved?
Harry is a man of contradictions.
I know, but it seems like, Murphy, I can't tell you, it's too dangerous.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Like, at least she has a gun and is a keto expert. Meanwhile, the reporters, he's like, do whatever the hell you want. You want a story? You want to meet a vampire? Whatever the hell you want, I gotcha.
I need something from you, so I can just justify it in my conscience that it'll be fine
so
this time.
Sorry. Your life is forfeit.
Yeah. Well, that's just it, right? And he's like, because he literally what he says is, he's, you know, I got her, you know, cursed, living in South America, fighting with her soul from being infected because she literally followed the wrong story.
Yeah, until she ran into the wrong story, or maybe the wrong wizard.
Yeah. But here he's like, oh, it's okay, because I'm going to give her the rundown on this. So she doesn't have to snoop around her. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like, okay, don't snoop around on your own and get into trouble. I will give you the goods you need or whatever, but...
You don't have to interview a vampire if the wizard just answered his fucking phone.
Right. So, yeah, and again, we find out a little bit once you go...
Okay, Lydia, but don't read my mail.
No stealing invitations off my mantle. But yes, find out that it's not specifically the story that he's right. He's kind of taking her away from that a little bit to do this, right? And she's like, well, what do I got to do? And he's like, just be yourself. And she's like, all right. And I'm like, wow. I mean, again, maybe reporter instincts. I would definitely be a little bit, you know, what do you mean?
No, like, literally same though. I'd be like, I would not know what to do with that.
What do you mean? Just wait for the signal. No, I need to know what the signal is. I don't just give me this random.
If somebody said that to me, I'd just be like, all right, be a bitch. Like, that's the only thing I can reliably.
Which you need. Yeah, right. But exactly.
It's okay. Lydia's a professional. She knows her job.
Okay, whatever. Good enough.
She's a smart cookie.
It's kind of a shame that we didn't get to know her before this, because it's like, clearly they run into each other a couple of times, and clearly she's fantastic.
Clearly. And clearly, I think we don't run into her again.
Never.
So, let me just pop in this fantastic
right
character.
Right after this book, she gets eaten by a vampire.
Oh my God. So cliche. It's what happens to all the Arcane reporters.
Can you get your own fucking tragic backstory? Jesus.
Right? So he tromps off.
I didn't even get to sleep with that one.
Again, she sounds a little like too like feisty for like, yeah.
He didn't even describe her nipple. She can't be out of the series yet.
Oh, we're just waiting for the bomb to drop on that one. When you least expect it, in will come Lydia Stern and her nipples.
I was at home thinking to myself.
But wait, what did they look like? Clearly.
That's what he's doing when he's writing down those notes at the end of every weekend. When he's like, all right, I got to write my case files. And he's like,
whose nipples have I not rhapsodized about lately?
Something I'm missing.
Why does this sound so boring?
What can it be, Bob?
I mentioned dimples, but there's something wrong.
I focused on her t-shirt. Why did I skip from there?
Dimples. What was I thinking about?
So they go to the room where Molly's being held, and he just goes right on in. Apparently this room was reserved for something called filking, which I clearly had to look up and was not disappointed.
I feel like that was like with the songs, like fan fiction songs. Is that filking or?
A musical genre in which performers replace the words of well-known songs with lyrics relating to science fiction or fantasy.
Wow, good job, Mom.
I can't say that I've ever done that. But
the word filking.
I know, doesn't it just sound dirty beyond dirty?
What is it, even a combination definition of fandom milking?
Again, right? Fandom-induced lyric kerfuffling? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
I'm not sure where,
choice.
But and the only reason I remembered is because way back on the Buffy website, that was, again, like we had different threads or sections for like fan fiction and stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure it would pop up in there, and that's where I was, because I was like, I know it's related to like songs or music, so kind of yeah, fan fiction, but for songs. But yes, you just parody a song or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't say anything more how it came about. It
yeah,
just says,
no, I don't know enough about it, but.
Gosh, what a word.
I know.
But it was an actual word, too.
Yes, yeah. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure this is actually. And I had meant to double check it, so I'm glad you did, because I forgot to, obviously. But yes, it's just such a great opening line. Sorry, this room is closed. Oh, and I was just looking forward to an afternoon of filking. Guys! With yourself? With others? I don't know.
So Harry finds Green with Molly and Murphy's ex, Rick, who is playing good cop.
Started as a misspelling of folk music.
Oh, so like folking and then it became filking. Gotcha. That is so much simpler than
a new speaker.
How does Jim Butcher know about filking before we do?
Right? Because Jim Butcher does his research as an author.
Didn't even know about fan conventions at the start of this book.
And that's why I would like to think by this point he had been to a few fan conventions. He probably did the same thing. He probably went... the fuck is filking? And then it's like, I gotta use that. Either that or people have sent him.
So Harry really just intrudes on this situation, ignores Green's attempts to get rid of him. Harry goes so far as to kill the radio.
It's fantastic. This whole thing is so, so cool. Harry in his element.
It's beautiful.
Forget
it's so
the monsters.
Fun.
I'm just a sarcastic man protecting a friend.
Right. I'm just going to talk to this kid. And of course, because she's sort of kerfuffled and whatever, she doesn't know any better. So she's like, partially like, oh, a friendly face, partially taking his lead kind of. Again, he asked me a question. I can't not answer, right? So he's just like, hey, how are you doing? How's Rosie? Did you get here from the hospital? Oh, yeah. What's going on? And oh, look, Mouse is, you know.
Well, of course. And of course, anyone being interviewed with like an out from it. So.
Yeah, exactly, right? They say that friendly face showing up, that of course she's going to latch onto that whole thing, but...
Oh, it's just great.
But just love how, and yeah, how Green just keeps trying to be like, Dresden, and he just keeps...
Railroad.
Oh, and he just transitions so smoothly into
when
he actually is finally like, no, you're a piece of shit. Like, this is not okay, and these are the reasons why. And no, you're not going to...
Oh my
get
god!
Any of
this
stuff
whole thing is
pushed
so
through,
and that immediate, you know, picking apart. Okay, bad cop, good cop, going on in here. All right, I clock that. I understand that.
Classics mm-hmm. never go out of style. Yep.
And also, thank you, Mouse, for finally doing your fucking job. Him going up to Molly and immediately just being, comforting and
yeah, here, pet me, cuddle me, emotional support animal. Yeah, and they try throwing down, they're like, they're getting real, but, you know, even they're like, oh, hey, Rick, how was the wedding?
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, we're working here. I can charge you with obstruction. I'm going to get you thrown in jail for like a month or two. And then he's actually, no. And just starts breaking down everything. And he's, you know, interrogating a minor. And she's like, what? They can't do that? And he's like, yeah, they're not supposed to be doing this. And Molly's like, motherfuckers.
Yeah, because doesn't she have a fake ID or something? Like,
she
or
does.
She's been she's just been at least telling them that she's of age.
I think they didn't ask because they know how old Nelson is.
Yeah,
they know he's 19, so they probably just assume.
Plus, again, they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. If they didn't know, it's not their fault kind of a thing. So,
exactly.
Yeah, assumption, and let's just, it works in our favor right now, so.
And I mean,
yeah.
Cops are allowed to lie to you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, whether they suspect or not, we don't really know.
Ignorance
but,
is exactly what
but they do seem a little bit surprised, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think,
like
you say,
knew.
They just either, again, because she's been
or
going
or they didn't expect to be called out for it.
Yeah. So either because she's been going around telling everybody that she's, which, again, if she's been staying at the hotel and all that kind of stuff, it does work in her favor for everybody to think she's at least 18, right? But
and then Lydia has this lovely timing. Like, what a, and just picks up exactly where she's supposed to, like.
Oh. It's just, it's all perfect. Everyone plays the roles so well.
Yes. Yeah. And if only the bad guys in our life ever stuck to the script this well. But they don't. But yes, every perfect opening, every one-liner, every hi, you're busted moment, he gets from them. And yeah.
And you think that Green and Rick, having already known Harry's involvement thus far, because they seem to be very up to date on Harry in terms of his police work anyways. Yeah, and for Harry them to be like, and not few... think that Harry doesn't know what's going on here. Like, okay, yeah, he's not an actual cop, but he's clearly been around for like...
He's been a consultant in the department for how many years now? Yeah, coming close on a decade. Let alone he's working as a private investigator, which again, you have to be aware of a lot of the laws yourself.
Exactly.
Plus you often work with the cops one way or another, even if you're not necessarily as close like Harry is, but you usually have a lot of...
And the whole time
they
keep trying to get the gotcha on Harry and being like...
Right, his own wizarding police
force. I've been questioned myself many times. Right. I've been arrested myself many times. I know when you can and cannot arrest me many times.
yeah.
I do kind of like, at least at first, how Rick plays in this. Because it's like where he's like finally like, he's got you.
He's still playing the good cop though.
And then where he like kind of gets called on being good cop and kind of drops it. I mean, when he starts to sort of push back with the concealed weapon part, was like, oh, you were doing okay here.
I know, you kind of had him, had to push it.
Yeah, you were still a dick.
I tried to go back to the family reunion when they first met, and I was like, is that when Rick maybe clocked that he was, like, carrying a weapon on him? Because I was like, really? Like, otherwise, a total gamble on Rick's part,
right? Yeah. Why do
And, yeah, it's hard to say. The text, you know, reading a chapter or two before that, you know, the only time he really handles a gun is when he takes the gun off the ladies. And then he doesn't super mention it again, outside of the fact of him just loading up to go to the Mavra
meeting,
Red Cross thing, or whatever.
Ambush.
Like that yeah. So it kind of says there that they kind of, you know, get all their shit together, but it's not really clear whether or not he has the gun on him when he goes to the reunion or anything like that. But
I did kind of wonder where he picked up on that.
It should be, because like it says Rick's looking to see where he would hide it on him right now. We know it's in the backpack.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's, you know, visible right now at all. So that's why I was wondering. I was like, how does Rick even know that? But, you know, shady guy.
Again, right, it could just be a total gap. I mean, again, either, yeah, he's done his follow-up since.
And also, wouldn't the assumption be that he does just have a concealed carry if he's a private investigator, which means Rick has looked him up and knows he doesn't.
Right. Because he just said.
No, out of curiosity a little while ago. I was just wondering.
I think just kind of an educated, right? Like, yeah, you've pissed him off. And he is not a cop. He's an FBI agent now, and he knows a thing or two. And exactly. I think he's just playing on a really safe hunch kind of a thing, right? And yeah, unfortunately, Harry is in a position that he can't just go, okay, fine. Although, again, Harry, you're a wizard. Can't you find a fucking way to glamour that thing and just, this is not the gun you're looking for?
My water gun filled with holy water?
Yeah, right? Like,
well, that'd be
come
perfect.
On. Come on.
Why's this guy got a water gun?
I do.
Same reason I have a big stick, okay?
I do want to go back to Lydia Stearns, though, on her very last comment about, and what are these rumors of interdepartmental non-cooperation slowing down the investigation? That is perfect because it's... Seriously, I was like, they're all
every
mad at each other. First of all, the regular cops weren't supposed to call in SI. And second of all, the FBI has now shown up too. So you've got the regular cops, the SI, and the FBI, and they're all mad at each other.
Oh, yeah, right? All of them.
And I'm like, that's a really good angle, Lydia. Really good angle.
Really good. Because again, that
but
is
for a real reporter, not for the fucking Midwest Arcane.
Which again, they'll still... Yeah, exactly, right? Like we were joking about with like firefighters and policemen and all that kind of stuff, right? The interdepartmental is also the other like biggest thing, right? Cops hate the FBI. FBI hates the cops. CIA hates every... You know, it's all, yeah, fantastic. Where they're...
But yeah, I'm like, the juvenile thing is like...
We don't want to deal with this ongoing thing.
Yeah, it's a gotcha moment. But the real question is, why aren't you all working to catch the bad guy?
Mm-hmm. Instead, bullying little girls.
Yeah. So, bye, Green.
Yeah. Thankfully, just before Harry's about to pull out his really bad, no, I'm not, Murphy jumps in and is like, quit being a dick. And he's like, oh, fuck, here's the axe. And Murphy's like,
this is enough reason to leave. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm not going to win this one, clearly.
And still, but Harry having that whole, well, she's my friend's daughter, first of all. It's not just some random person. It is like,
I have a vested interest here.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm godfather.
I'm not actually here just to fuck with you guys.
Yeah, right.
Surprisingly, I would have done it anyways, but...
But I mean, it was a good opportunity, but there was a point.
But the reason somebody got me involved is because there's a connection here. They didn't just randomly track me down because some girl was being questioned.
You look like you yell at cops.
Right?
Yeah, so Sandra comes into the room and Harry asks Molly to go with her mom, Charity, who is apparently the one that is verified as the caller. One of the people who has been called.
Yes, that person.
And fortunately, Molly does agree to follow through with
which
that.
Which tells you how, and I mean, I've
just been tortured. I'm okay to go with mom.
Well, and it makes you wonder, because again, like most people, again, that you see in these things, most of us are like, well, I'm innocent. I'm more than happy to help. I will give you my... So there's that whole thing going on. Plus, very much the intimidation factor of a 17-year-old being questioned by cops and FBI in murder, assault. Okay, like, she was probably spilling her... You know what I mean? There might have been a little bit of like, do I tell them? Is this like, what do I say? You know what I mean? But at the same time...
Well, Molly has no reason to hide anything, right? She would want to be as helpful as possible, which could get her in more trouble.
Which, yeah, like I say, that's the natural thing. We're all like, well, it's the truth. And it's like, no, never say anything without a lawyer, even if it's the truth, because I've seen too many shows, read too many books. But exactly right. She's to the point where she's like, she's not even mad they called mom. She might not be thrilled, but he's like, I need you to go with your mom. And she's just kind of okay. Doesn't even fight him on it there. I mean, she's just, yeah, like in the shock of it all, in the whatever, that she's like, okay, I need my mom. Definitely, I know my mom will take just as big a bite out of him as Dresden just did, you know? But yeah, I think it's just very telling of this. And a couple of, like, part of me is like, what the fuck have they been asking her for? I mean, I guess you get
it. Honestly, I don't necessarily take it this quite the same way of like, okay, I do want my mom. I take it more as just a little bit of like, she's just been under a mental strain and doesn't have the energy to now argue with Harry about it.
either
way,
both, and yeah, exactly. So yeah, so he gets, and again, I get you got things to do, but it's just so very abrupt. It's like Sandra comes in, she's like, your mom's coming. He's like, can you babysit her? Molly, go with your mom. Bye. Thanks. Like, yeah.
You want me to check out a hotel? I'm gonna check out a hotel. Okay.
Things to do, kid. Things to do.
Things to do. So then he turns to Murphy and says, hey, want to get a hotel room? And again, so great. He's like, we're just working together. We've done that before, but we haven't done it in a hotel room. Yes, we have. Okay, but those ones had corpses in them.
Ours might too before the night is up. Okay, hold it back.
Night's still young, Dresden. Keep it up. Yeah.
This moment in the elevator, it is so awkward, so sad.
I know. So they finally address it. And it's like, yeah, no. There's so many bad reasons for this.
Well, and especially because both of them have had the whole will we, won't we. And for Murphy to finally just be like, yeah, okay. So I really thought about it since our car ride yesterday. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. There's more cons than pros.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I would want to. Yeah, that would be great. But again, right? Murphy's like, I want my career right now. I'm not. You're a not take it lightly kind of guy. Right, she's like, I don't want something serious right now. You only do serious. But yeah. Okay, so if I do get serious, I want kids. What do you want? Oh, shit, I never thought about that. Like,
and even the lifespan comparison.
Comparison.
Like, she's got some very valid reasons. Like,
she has totally valid reasons outside of the fact, come on, Murphy. And I know our Discord was really getting into this in the last like couple of weeks about how people really thought that the Murphy-Harry thing was pushed. I really thought, oh, wait, that's a super big spoiler.
How the Murphy issue
was pushed. The Murphy and the Harry thing and, you know, other relationships will or can be pushed. I don't agree. I honestly think they all evolved very naturally, honestly. I'm really, honestly, extremely happy with every single one of the canon relationships that Harry is in or, you know, attempts to pursue.
Attempts or whatever. Right. Whatever form they may be. Good guys, bad guys, romantic interests.
I never considered this, like, Murphy-Harry thing to be pushed or awkward or not appropriate. For all of it, I think it was very natural. I didn't super either.
And I think it was partly because of these kinds of things, right? Because they don't just, like, dance around it forever, like in some shows with the whole, right? They're kind of, you know,
like that will they, won't they for
it. Yeah.
Especially like in shows like Castle, where it was like ridiculous kind of how long they went on will they, won't they. And then when they finally did, they had those petty childish fights that
and about TV shows too. Occasionally just like, I get the tension. I get sort of where the writers, producers, whatever come from the appeal of the will they, won't they. And but like you say, I'm like, there's definitely sometimes where you carry on too long. And then I hate it when you have these perfect couples and then within like three episodes of dating or something, they ruin it all. They're fighting with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, come on. So 7 years they got along and were perfect for each other. And now that they spend a half an hour more time because they were already living out of each other's pockets, now they can't make it work, right?
Even Murphy bringing up these points about like, well, what about kids and what about this and what about that is valid for her to say before getting into the relationship where, yeah, you watch the shows like even like Bones or whatever like that where, yeah, literally in each other's pockets forever, but it wasn't until they were dating that they're like, wait, we have wildly drastic views that have never come up in 7 years.
This I don't
want. Point is that I do think the natural progression between Harry and Murphy is earned, which makes this conversation all the more sadder for me to be like,
I know, it takes...
Their complaints seem real.
Right.
Which gets more.
I think what I'm, one of the things that I really and do like about this scene is that it was respectful and it was honest. It wasn't just like...
It wasn't a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I'm just gonna ghost you now. Or, yeah. No, like...
Well, that
too. It respects their current relationship. It really does.
It does, yes. It's, yeah, again, it's not audience pandering to drag this out. It's just, it's totally just straight up.
That's, I think, what I like is that it gives you a little bit of the excuse. It's not just keeping that will they won't they for stupid, non-existent reasons. You know what? Let's face this for a second. Why wouldn't? So, yeah, you're kind of, but again, it feels like it gives me a rational response for that.
Yeah.
We can both admit that we like each other. We can both admit that we're thinking about it. We're not pretending it doesn't exist. It just doesn't maybe line up right now, right? Like, you know, we have a working relationship, we have a friendship, we have, and aside just from those sort of, maybe they'll, right, the real life things, your job, my job, your lifespan, my lifespan, kids, no kids, you know what I mean? It's like we have some very real concrete things that are important. I can, yeah, value it for that.
Does
even though he's not a friend that takes pants off, would you like to take pants related? I'm a guy, of course I would. But yes, they decide that I guess it's not going to happen right now.
Stab twist. God, I love being a wizard.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 23. Harry discusses options with Bob on how to proceed and decides to redirect the phobophages back to the summoner. Molly comes by and they have a talk before she gets ready for Tyrity's arrival. Harry sets up a spell and has a surprise visit from a very now upset Charity.
And now upset, like she hasn't been upset from the day dressed and walking.
You're so lucky that table isn't nailed down.
Right. They go up, and speaking of like your awkward ghosting, not really, but there is a little bit. So I'm just going to go check other things out while you do this. I mean, not that she really had a reason to hang around anyways.
I'm not going to go in this room.
But yeah, there does seem to be a little bit of a, you know what, now that we have had that, I'm just going to, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, fine. So she's going to go check out Pell's place. Total great use of time. How come nobody has done this yet? Like, but okay. I mean,
Everyone's done it.
I'm sure. But I was going to say, I'm like, Harry spent like 3 hours at the hospital. I'm like, oh yeah, but Mercy Blue was with him. Then she couldn't go check him.
So. I need you to go do this.
So
you can have an excuse to leave.
It's yeah.
Cool. I need to cry. Please leave.
Right.
I gotta focus. I have to focus. Okay.
Yeah. So he starts sitting up. So you can't do chalk on the rug, which, fair enough. Although, honestly, considering this doesn't sound like a super high-class hotel, most of the hotels, motels I've stayed in have that really hard, stiff. I'm like, you probably could have got a chalk circle on this carpet. But okay, fine. Let's use salt instead. Works better for you. Gonna piss off housekeeping. But hey, he does say it's really fine. So I'm like, honestly, it might not be that.
I assume all that.
Yeah. I'm like, it sounds like it might be sand or whatever, you know?
Just some fucking maid in the fucking hotel room being like, where did you find a beach in Chicago?
He talks about going down to the lakeshore all the time.
Do they have sand? I feel
I don't
like
know.
Those are just like rocks.
Rocky
like
fish.
You're not ocean.
Wait.
Lots of seaweed.
Yeah, they import white sand.
He does. Rich. He does with Thomas.
Oh, you're
they
right.
They go jogging on
do.
A sandy
right.
beach
you're
with
right.
Thomas. So all there's right, got to be right. one somewhere.
Which never made sense to me.
Man-made.
The jogging or the sandy beach
the
in Chicago?
The sandy beach in Chicago.
Man-made beaches.
Yeah, it's a lot like.
Our Fish Creek one.
Could be, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dug a hole. Toss some sand in it.
Stick some water and then close it down for most of the summer every year because something has like died in it.
Bacterial has gone wrong.
Yeah.
So Bob has been here the whole time listening to all of this.
Oh my God, can I talk now? No. It depends what's going to come out of your mouth. Yeah, pulls out his skull and his Play-Doh. Facial reconstruction, anyone? Oh my God, that would be so fun. I would love to see in just some like little side story Harry doing that. Cause that was what like.
Doesn't he have a Mr. Potato Head? Hasn't he used different pieces from a Mr. Potato Head for like.
Not yet.
Like when he did his like doll thing or something?
Oh. I had a Raggedy Ann for something.
Yeah, it was a Cabbage Patch doll.
Oh, the Cabbage Patch, yeah.
That he used as the summoning
Maybe
thing.
Maybe I'm wrong,
like,
but It'd be funny if he was just like started attaching things to Bob's skull just to piss him off.
Like, you have doesn't a ring the bell to me right now, but that's all I can think of now that we were just talking about.
You have a pirate earring.
Angela and bones and stuff like that, right? That's what they always did. They always put the skull and then they put like the little rubber erasers and then put all the clay over it to mold. I'm like, should just do give him like a blue, like punk rock hair, like pink and blue. So yeah, so he's been listening to everything and he's like, all right, so what's your opinion? Oh my God, you're never going to get laid. But you should know, Harry. That was the last fucking thing you were talking about. You should know that's immediately where he's going to jump to.
But okay, back on track. How about the murdering beasts? Okay, fine.
Yeah, so we get quite a bit of details on how phobophages work.
This is so annoying.
Lots of lore this chapter.
Jim Butcher, why do you need to have fucking 80,000 species of everything? Why can't there just be one kind of Bigfoot, one kind of vampire, one kind of phobophage?
Well, because in the real world, Jessica.
I know, but come on, you make everything so hard.
Why can't you just have...
I have a talking skull who knows everything in the universe, but he doesn't know which species of frog it is, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well, some of that, again, yes, there was a touch of that whole, this is our never-ending supply of knowledge, but he has awkward, inconvenient blocks in his... Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's so funny because up until now, 99% of the time, you're like, I love Butcher's word building. He doesn't just have one kind of religion because there's like a million religions in the world. You're like, he doesn't have just one kind of vampire because there's like a million vampires in the world. It's like, why the fuck does he have 10,000 phobophages? Yeah, okay, I don't hear about this shit right now. But yes, Bob has all the information except the crucial tidbit that would tie it all together.
There's one wizard scientist out there that feels me right now. And they're like, I know, right? We discover a new species of phobophage every week. Damn it.
But yes, phobophage is not a phobophage is not a phobophage.
Well, and it does make sense if you were putting it into sense like...
It's just every children's nightmare. There's 8 billion of them.
Exactly.
If we're coming back to the movie, the horror movie references and the type of entity that feeds off of fear, there is a bajillion of the different movies that use this trope. So
exactly.
Of course there's going to be different
They're not the same guy that
they can't breed with
each
other.
They're all just the same.
But they are like...
If it worked more, you know, carrots or corn, where we just outbred all the ones we didn't want, and now they're all just the same one species. You know, every apple comes from the same one fucking species of apple. Even those 40,000 apples are all from the same one gene of apple, so Harry's like, spell could work, but no.
How people with blue eyes are all related somehow. It all dates back to the same. Yeah.
Yep. Slowly breed out all the alternatives until one spell can take us all out at once.
So Bob and Harry brainstorm a bit and think of maybe hiding the venue, but they sort of need to figure out if they were being sent from the Never Never or if they were being summoned.
And I like how they kind of, because that was the whole thing in the last couple of chapters there, where they're like, let's keep the convention open because at least then we know where they're going to strike. So should we hide the whole thing so they can't? I'm like, you left it open so that they would be drawn here instead of the rest of the city. Now you're going to hide it. And he's like, yeah, maybe let's not do that. Yeah, maybe. Make up your mind, Harry.
Yeah.
That's why it's brainstorming. There are no wrong answers.
Well, exactly. Yes, it's just I'm glad you discarded that one because that totally would have negated the entire. Yeah.
But it's annoying because it's like we can't even go to the Never Never and raise a veil because we don't even know how they're getting in. Okay, we sealed all the windows, but the ants and mice are still getting in. So now we have to go through the whole fucking house and do everything else. It's impossible.
So we find out if it's somebody that's sending them from the Never Never, it is a big power player. Huge.
You need some oomph to do that.
So it is probably more likely that they are being summoned from this side, from the reality plane.
Mm-hmm. And they consider, is it the fairies and stuff? And Bob's like, oh yeah, something's going screwy in there. And he's like, great, because I kind of got a hint of that with the ladies. But you know what? I don't think it's really that, so let's just shelve that again for a while. Just don't forget, there's trouble a brewing there. There might be a thing, but...
Yeah, the brief mention that Mab wants to kill Bob for some unknown
reason. Yeah, one of these days you got to tell me why. Nope, no, I don't. Ooh, yes, you do, Bob.
You see what happened with the whole Kemmler thing when you didn't tell me about that?
Yeah. What is this? So yeah, so they're narrowing it down. They draw a plan. So he's got his little web spell set up. It's going to twang when anything crosses through. And then they can all just jump and pile onto it. Well, actually, no, they can redirect it out first. They don't want to jump on and pile onto it. They want to catch it and that will slingshot it. Boing! They're going to Acme rock that thing and the boulder into the coyote. Which, again, pretty much what was happening in Blood Rites, right? He set up his chalk lines. He centered it all around a mirror. when that entropy spell came hurtling in, it was supposed to bounce back to the sender.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And then Trixie Buxom there broke it all. So this is basically the same thing, only he has done it in a very different way. He's done it with the little bits of Play-Doh, and he's going to catch it and spring it back rather than, like, funnel it through a mirror back at them. So essentially the same kind. I mean, an entropy spell, a summoning of a being, same kind of thing, same kind of solution, but carried out in different formats and different ways. So.
I do want to point out this part where Bob is like on board with the slinging the spell back. He's like, and the good guys win. Bob cheered. Or at least you do. You're right. Still a good guy, right? You know how confusing the whole good evil concept is for me. There's something so wonderful but extra multi-layered on that. Mm-hmm. It's not just about Bob's
questioning.
Well, you cut it off before the best part. Harry's response to that. I'm thinking about changing it to them and us for simplicity's sake. What the fuck do you mean?
Yeah.
You won't even call yourself a good guy?
Yeah, I didn't really understand that part.
No, it's after all this, like, Harry's not committing to even himself being a good guy. He's like, I don't even trust in myself. Where it's them and it's us. There's no good guy in there.
Okay. Yeah, whatever
I wasn't
I'm
sure
doing
how to interpret it, so I didn't
know. Like,
yeah, not, yeah, he can't unequivocally label it good and evil, so he's just gonna be like, us and them.
That's
I may be wrong, but whatever we're doing against
him. Everyone's standing around saying, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He's like, well, who else is gonna do it? And somebody has to step up and somebody has to defend these people, and then Bob is like, okay, but you're still a good guy, right? And Harry's next question, please.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what the fuck, dude? Okay, you can make some questionable decisions, but yeah, you should at least be firmly on, you know, being the good guy's side, right?
Like, right. But I mean, again, if Harry's being his super honest, which he usually is, right? He always says that too. Well, I mean, I do it for the right
Bob
reasons,
is basically
but I
himself,
cross
okay?
the lines, and I deal more in the gray now than... I'm like, yeah, okay, you deal more in the gray, but again, you're still the good guy, though, right? You see that all the time where the good guys have to deal in the gray. So yeah, it is, again, one of those easily missed, easily overlooked, easily just kind of a not quite throwaway conversation, but whatever, or very much you can read so much more into the whole thing, right? Depending on. So yes, us and them. Moving on. So yeah, he wants to just get, so he's going to let them come in and just give them a little bit of a topspin to remake them.
Yeah, this is another thing. You've got maybe 10 seconds. That's not
that, yeah. He's like, oh, I should have like 20 seconds. Bob's like, maybe 10 if you're lucky. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Not a lot, yeah. He's going to send it back and give him a dose of his own medicine right up the ass. Thank you, Harry.
While he's pondering all this stuff, Molly comes to the room, a worn-out woman. She has to use the bathroom to clean up before her mother gets there. And just kind of inquires what Harry's doing, and he explains that he's setting up a spell.
I can't believe all this stuff is real. I mean, I knew there was, like, stuff, but this is, like, crazy. And then Harry's like, yeah, see how much real it is? See how much, you know, and he comes up with a great thing here. You know, it gives him a good little teachable moment where she's like, I don't want to go back with my mom. And he's like, listen, bitch, you know how crazy this has all been and how scary for you? Like, now that you see for your own eyes, right? It's not just like abstract stories from dad's work, right? You're seeing, right? Rosie has been hurt. Nelson's gotten in trouble. People are dead.
That's why I guess she's a young girl, but her naivety at this point is a little bit frustrating because it's like, you've known the supernatural your whole life. Like, come on.
Yeah,
the ball.
Some version of it.
How she like responds to him basically saying, yeah, even your father can die. Yes, he's a knight, but he can die too.
Yeah, remember Shiro? Yeah. And yeah, that.
How
that.
She sort of like, doesn't, like, I don't know if she, like, it almost seems like she's never sort of even considered that. Like,
and to a large degree, I can see that she wouldn't because, again, right, she is just becoming a young woman now. She is, again, anybody who's past the age of 30 and stuff like that, like, oh, you're just a baby, right? Annoys the fuck out of you guys when you're that age and you think you know everything and you think you're a big adult, right? But again, it's inevitable. The older you get, the more you realize how much you didn't know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And again, not obviously to this degree, but it's like, I do remember, you know, there is that whole thing of like your parents being infallible and stuff like that, right? When you're a young child, they save you from pretty much everything. They always have the answers. They always know what to do, right? So you get that feeling of they know everything until you start to, right? So I think, yeah, the fact that, and again, her dad is still a relatively young man. You know, Shiro was like 70s, 80s, right? Michael's a long way off from that. So he knows, I mean, again, right? I think it's probably a little bit the people who like have cops or firefighters or, I don't know, demolition crews, right? You know they do a dangerous job. You know there's always a risk of getting hurt or whatever.
Not mine.
But not my. My dad is safe. My dad is really well trained. My dad's been, he's been doing this for 10 years and he's never got shot yet. So what are the odds? You know what I mean? Like, again, we just put that sort of natural defense layer. And again, it's for our own feelings and protection.
You can't think that way every day anyway.
Again, right, that's where you get, like, your helicopter moms and, well, a little bit like charity here, but exactly, you know, they want to wrap you in bubble wrap. And if you think that about your kids and stuff constantly, you don't ever let them go out and experience the world. But if you want them to grow up into normal beings, you have to accept that level. They're going to take a bus. They're going to ride their bike to school. They're going to, you know, and so, yeah, exactly. So I think that's the thing is yeah, Shiro, but Shiro was also really old.
The Carpenter
really
kids come from a somewhat sheltered environment.
Yes and no, because they are well-loved and well-protected. But, yeah, they don't have shitty, you know, whatever, exactly. They're not exactly like latchkey kids that have had to do everything for themselves, right? Mom has been there for them. Dad has been there for him. So I get it, and I don't, like you say, right, a certain amount of, like, you just don't clue into, like, oh, but that does apply to me and to us. Yeah.
It is a successful, relatively successful communication for her, though.
Like, it is.
It gets through, I think.
Are you out there, Michael? I'm doing what you wanted. I don't know how.
But it also gives a little bit of that reprieve. Because, I mean, it's kind of funny, right? Like, we joke about the antagonism between Charity and Drazen. And we get it from her side. And we get it kind of from his side. But, you know what? He does make a valid point here, too, right? He is kind of like, again, it's one of the nice things where even when he doesn't really like you,
I had a mom to care for me.
Well, he does. But Harry gives some props to Charity here, even, you know, again, even if he doesn't really, you know, see eye to eye with her all the time. And he's like, your mom is just scared. Like, she knows. She understands she could lose your dad at any time. She knows she could understand you guys at any time. Like, aside from just the regular real world risks that all parents deal with, dad's work could, right, Harry? You know how you're always worried about all your friends inheriting your, you know how 5 minutes ago you were talking about your kids inheriting your enemies and the consequences of your choices, right? Yeah. Michael, too. Michael, we know, is definitely on the side of good, but it doesn't mean there aren't potential, like, yeah,
I can avoid Michael for 2 years. You can't.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And yes, hopefully, again, Michael working, and he does, you guys do have an extra layer of protection, but. So he's like, your mom is just scared. She's not trying to smother you and keep you from growing up because she is a psycho mom. Just, she's scared, she's worried, you guys have a higher level of danger in your lives. And she is aware of all the things that go bump in the night, right? And Molly's finally kind of like, oh, yeah, it's not just a controlling.
I don't know, 50-50 for that. I'm back on Molly's side, being like, okay, I get it, but I don't care. Let me live my life.
And fair enough, any 17-year-old.
Let her be scared, I got things to do, bye.
And then Bob ruined the whole moment. So this
is furthermore of just like, I fucking hate you, Harry Dresden. I fucking hate you, Bob the Skull. Why are you like this, Jim Butcher?
I get why Butcher put this moment in here, but it was so, like,
this is one of the worst.
This made my skin crawl so fucking gross.
Yeah. Big squick factor. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yep, and that's why. Wow, check out the rack on that 17-year-old girl. Oh no, but I can't. She's in your bathroom getting naked, Harry. Murphy just turned you down.
So many women bring up, like, I could not get into that series. Harry was such a pig. And I'm like, that's book one. You didn't even make it to book eight.
Who needs Lashiel when you've got Bob? It's right there. Just go for it.
You people are giving up on the series before. Oh, my God.
Did you see this cute, hot chick? Come on, Harry. Just go for it.
So gross.
It's terrible. I hate it.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That never happened. Not my Harry Dresden, please.
Well, it was, like, compounded that Lashiel makes a point. It's like,
yeah, and then Lash also popping right. up. I hope, for all intents and purposes, honestly, she was jealous. And she's like, hello. I'm well more than legal woman here, okay? I want to sleep with you for a long time now, okay? Forget the fucking 17-year-old idiot. And I'm like, yes, please, Lash, let's talk to you instead, please. We can talk about your nipples all day long, no problem.
I don't know, though, because is she necessarily drawing it to, because all she says is, she's like, the little pervert has a point, like, maybe you need some nookie. I don't even think, it doesn't even sound like she's trying to, like, redirect it to her.
My hope is that she just felt jealous, and she was like, hello, still in your brain, don't forget about me.
Maybe, but it sounds like she's just right? Because he's like, you need to get in. She's like, well, he has a point. Harry, you're so stressed, and you, because I mean, again, perfect for her, like, even better than if he hooks up with her, if he hooks up with the young friend's daughter who's underage and close, you know what I mean?
For last year, looks like you go fuck yourself,
right?
Gross,
right? And I think the thing that's redeeming about it is that Harry, like, okay, if she does have a crush on him, then he's like, he's thankfully like, I'm not going to encourage this,
yes,
thank God.
There is that, much as he can't necessarily stop. And, you know, okay, we all have thoughts. We can't stop. And again, it's the whether you act on them or not, whether you know. So again, Harry, most of us don't share when we have those unexpectedly inappropriate thoughts. We don't chronicle them for the world to see. However, yes, that is the difference, is that exactly he is.
But yeah, you just would hope that, like, your best friend wouldn't have those thoughts about your teenage daughter at all.
You would.
Like, not even, like, don't act on them. You just hope they'd never think it to begin with. And, like, life could just be nice and happy.
Absolutely. But, I mean, like I say, it is human nature. Whatever the situation, we have all occasionally had that sudden something where we're like, oh, no, why did I? Right? So, I mean, in all fairness, yeah, Harry could have some moments where he's not actively trying to perv on his best friend's kid or whatever like that. But again, you just suddenly see a beautiful girl walk in and your brain just goes, there's a beautiful girl. Oh, wait, shit, I know her. But yes, but it does exactly the fact that this is brought specifically to his attention and he does go, no. Because he could just be like, oh, you know, this is kind of cool. Like, I won't ever do anything, but I'll totally take the attention and the whatever, right? Like, so many people in real life do allow that part to happen. Well, I would never do anything, but it's not my fault. She's great. Yeah, but you never did anything to discourage them crushing on you. So yes, it is your fault. Where at least Harry's like, no, I didn't.
Bad. So Harry moves on to his spell crafting while he takes a shower. And I actually did have to do the translation for the Latin part. He finishes his spell with Magius Orbius Spiritus Oculus, which translates to a more magical orb-like spiritual eye, at least according to Google Translate.
Sounds better in Latin.
Makes more sense, yeah. Which is why we do it. Although, speaking of languages, sometimes I'm mildly, I mean, I guess maybe, but sometimes I'm mildly surprised that Harry still has so much trouble, because in, like, book one, Bob starts spewing, like, and again, not current, it's always, like, ancient French, and he understood the anatomical improbabilities of a bullfrog or whatever. Now he's spewing, like, ancient Spanish, I think, at the Greek. End of there, or ancient Greek, and Harry's like, I don't know, I caught something about sheep, but, you know, and I'm like, so you can catch all that. I'm like, does Bob just swear at you in other languages that far that you're picking it up? And I'm like, how do you know what ancient Greek and ancient French are, but you're like, Latin still stumps me, man.
It's on principle now.
My whole entire language is, like, based on this, but I just don't get it.
I refuse to learn Latin. Fuck it.
He seems to do just fine in this.
He does. Well, yeah, in his spells, he does fine.
That was originally. He's done more correspondence work since then.
Maybe that's what he's still doing. He does a refresher course and be like, okay, I'm not talking about my laundress in the meeting again. But yeah, does his gobbledygook, yeah. Getting ready.
And then he finishes the spell and Harry feels physically fatigued from the spell. And Murphy teases him as she enters. She's like, wow, okay. But she does, he goes through and explains what the...
Sherlock is like a spell crafted from Walmart.
I believe you now.
But he does explain what he does in that there's candles that will flare up should something happen. He has one for himself, one for Murphy, and one for Rollins should he make an appearance.
Yes.
I do like that, though. Rollins is here. It's a gut feeling. It's like, yeah, that's exactly who Rollins is.
Yes. And again, right, you've already seen him poking around and linger. I mean, again, he was off duty at the hospital when he got hurt, but he was still camped outside of rooms making sure things were cool, right? So yeah, you say Harry's got a plausible reason for being like, you know what? I'm not going to be surprised. And again, he's enough in the know that he's not going to question it too much. He'll roll with it.
Also yeah. Curious, how did the theater get locked up if Pal works alone?
That was, yeah.
And if he doesn't work alone, why is it locked up?
Right.
Why isn't he banking on this right now?
Yeah, exactly. They would still be wanting somebody to show those movies in the actual theater instead of all these crummy little panel rooms.
Exactly.
And yeah, so.
Questionable.
Good point. Which again, I can see it being one of those sort of easily overlooked details amongst some of the bigger things. But again, when you get down to it, you're right. Like, yeah, a good detective, a good investigator would make like, oh, wait a minute. This actually is an important point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good job, you guys. I guess even though everybody else had checked it out, good thing Murphy went.
And then they go, like, backwards. Earlier in the game, Harry was telling her about, like, remember about borrowed trouble and don't create more bad guys than you need to. And let's all just assume it's one guy. And now we're here, and Harry's like, things don't make sense. There must be someone else. And Murphy's like, relax, please.
That's a good point.
That's not what...
Can you guys just...
Not fuck. Random.
Ever since they broke up in the elevator, they could just not agree.
Right? This is the fight thing. Yeah, exactly.
Harry does give her sort of a role to play for what? For when the spell goes down, because he's going to need somebody to distract the monsters. Yeah.
So how is this going to work?
So he can shoot them somewhere else.
Right? It's kind of technical. I'll try to keep up, asshole. By the way, Harry, is your shower running?
No.
So anyways.
Yeah. Let the mind games begin.
Okay.
He's such a dramatic little baby. He's like, maybe I was still upset about the elevator because I refused to answer. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Wow.
That's okay. Karma's a bitch.
Right.
At least she will be soon.
Very soon. She's like, all right, fine. So yeah. So Murphy goes off to do her candle distribution and Harry is about to start and ding, ding, ring.
Charity shows up with Father Fordle.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Dresden. All I could see is from the Matrix, Agent Smith. It's Agent Smith.
Okay, yeah. That sounds right.
All I have is like this vision of Charity, like Agent Smith. Hello, Mr. Dresden.
I can see it. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I get the other one word. Yeah. Yeah.
And I find out that Father Fortill used to be a lawyer.
What? I love that, like, Butcher was just sitting as,
I don't want another character.
Yeah.
Let's just.
Right. Yeah, he's just like, I don't know. Who couldn't. Yeah,
multitask.
They're bashing me for bringing in Lydia Stern all of a sudden, so we'll just fine. Sometimes I need a new character, sometimes you don't. Sometimes
it's also because, like, Harry has a lawyer, doctor, apparently, that we could have potentially reused.
All this time he could have been, although I don't know, maybe under the circumstances, Fort Hill might not have been as cutthroat as
for a
tabloid.
Like, sure, Fort Hill, why not? Whatever.
Excuse me? Yeah, you know, before I took my orders, I passed the bar. So it doesn't say he ever necessarily practiced as. But he did pass the bar, and then he was like, no, you
what
know what?
What a career shift, right?
Like, as you have, like, a number? Because they're supposed to have a practicing number.
Obviously, because he's kept his hand, and he does work for his congregation and shit like that. So, yeah, whether he ever practiced as a lawyer outside of
So now we have, like, the demon lawyer and the angel lawyer?
I'm telling you, okay, St. Mary's will never pay property taxes.
Right? Explains so much. I'm like, that's why it's been such an, like, it's not just a good hideout, it's an extra good hideout. He doesn't just ward off supernatural disasters, he can fucking, like,
ward off taxes.
Fight City
Hall. Oh, wait,
he
already does do that.
Right? But yeah, awesome, where he's like, lawyer, priest does not compute. Yeah, and I, you know what? Yes, an ox. I think that's what most of us is. What? Definitely oxymoronic. It does not. Who would have thought? How can one support the other?
At least
one
he's got a good sense of humor about
one
it.
One is
too.
Inherently
he's
evil.
Like, yeah, I get it.
But yes, he does. And then again, yeah, it is that nice little. I just do like some pro bono work for, you know, but just enough that just in case anybody should ever.
But now we have to make this situation even worse by having Molly come out of the shower in a towel.
Right. 10 seconds. 10 seconds more, I could have been like, Molly's here. She just went to clean up. But no.
Now, on a first reading of this, it does seem like a little bit unfair. He gets clocked by Charity so bad he's on the ground. And she's a tall woman, okay? And, you know, I believe that she has the power.
She
and,
is,
you know,
yeah.
That surprise as well. I fully believe it.
Yeah, she's built. He said that on numerous occasions.
Exactly. But yeah, like this now
yeah,
being
she was
like
Valkyrie-like.
Seventh or eighth reread or something like that. And I've gone over that Molly scene so many times that I'm like, you know what? She didn't need to read your thoughts. You absolutely deserve that punch, okay? Maybe outwardly it doesn't look like you deserve it, but I know what the fuck conversation you had with Bob, and you deserve to get punched. You deserve to be sprawled on that ground.
And letting Murph think, which, yeah. Like, just
all of it.
Yeah.
That was that
Fort
was a karmic moment.
Stop Charity as soon as he did.
Right.
He should get curb stomped right now.
Oof. I can't handle that one, no.
Yeah, I was okay with it, too. I was like, yeah, you kind of deserve that.
Fully.
You're being
fully.
A bit of
I don't
a
feel bad
snot.
For you even a little bit.
Like you say in the moment, just because you're like, I have, but you're right. But you're like, yeah, no, given it might not have been for the thing.
Yeah, not she that, didn't hit you for the right reason, but you deserve to get hit.
But you deserve to get hit. Yeah, exactly. And the beautiful side of that is that instantly they leave and Murphy's like, so what you doing down there?
I was here the whole time.
I'm not really going to kick you while you're down, but just maybe a little nudge.
Murphy took 2 steps towards the elevator, saw Charity, guessed who was in the shower, and turned around for a show.
right, oh, shit's going down now. I'm going to, yeah, exactly. Take that, bitch. How's your petty revenge now, Harry?
I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, I like that she also basically tells him to suck it up.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
You've been through worse. Just get up. Let's go.
I know.
Let's do this.
Even Fort Hill a little bit is like one part amusement, like 4 part story about Jay. You know, even he's a little bit like, yeah.
Are we surprised?
Questionable decisions, okay?
Yeah. You let her into you. Yeah, exactly.
Molly leaves with Charity and
Murphy tails after them.
Up, yeah.
And
we're
yeah,
done.
Bob is.
Harry collects himself to head downstairs.
Women confuse me.
It's not that hard, Harry.
This concludes our episode 17.15, 200 Reasons and Then Some. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys. Hey,
woo! Hey, we love you.
You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macandallies.ca for another 200 episodes yet to come. There we have links to other podcasts. Yeah. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.